Starting the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Bet. So the Gemara is going on to a tangent here. The Gemara is going to bring down a case that's not necessarily related to our Mishnah, but the reason the Gemara is going to bring it is because they're going to challenge this case or the situation from our Mishnah over here. So the second to last line in Yud Aleph Amud Bet. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Homer L'Shlucho. Say, Mekadesh li Isha Stam. And so go out and be Mekadesh a woman for me. He doesn't identify who the woman is, and actually he doesn't know who the woman is. Now the Shliach goes out and is Mekadesh a woman for him, and then the Shliach maybe disappears, he passes away. So now he has no idea which woman this Shliach, this messenger, went ahead and was Mekadesh for him. Asur b'chol anashim shebeolam. It's now restricted in all women in the world. Why? Because chazaka shliach oseh shlichuto. Right? There's a general understanding that, or a general belief that a messenger will do that which he's instructed to do. The agent, when he's engaged, will do his agency. So over here we assume the shliach was mekadesh a woman, and then he's passed away, we just have no idea who that woman is. And because of that, it came into low parishlay, right, since he didn't tell him which one, or since the sender did not instruct him as to whom, halo yada, I knew kaddishlay. Right, we don't know who he was mekaddish for him. And then what's the problem now? Right, the raios, all the krovim of that woman. I mean, the problem is not the woman herself, because he's married to that woman. The bigger problem for him is any other woman who could possibly be a karov of the woman to which he is married right now. So, it's just interesting here. What about the rest of the world? Right, so now we're saying, our underlying assumption right now is that we're dealing with a woman who's out there that he's possibly married to. Now, because a woman is considered kikavua, right, then we say it's kemechsa mechsadami, it's a 50-50 shot. It's not called a parish, meruba parish, right? And therefore, we say that we're machmer, that he can't get married or can't marry any other woman because they would possibly be a karov of this woman. But if that is the case, why doesn't everybody else in the world restrict it? If everybody else in the world should restrict it because they could possibly marry this woman. But there's a possibility that if they marry any woman, that woman would be the woman that he was married to or engaged to through Kiddushin. So that's it. The Rabbeinu Tam, if you look up on the top Tosis there, on the left, it says, Vim Tomar, V'chuli Amma Ya'asru Lisanish Nashim. Everybody in the world should be restricted from marrying. Dishem is Otish Nitkad Shal Yidei Shlihak. Because maybe this is a woman that is already married. So now the Rabbeinu Tam says, women, each individual woman is believed to say that I'm not the woman. So if a woman says I'm not married, then we know that she's not the woman. So for the rest of the world, that's sufficient. Then the problem is, now what? That's Tinach Gedolot. That works for women who are beish. What happens? So the problem is going to arise for women who are possibly their father accepted Kiddushin on their behalf and then their father passes away. So now we have nobody to ask as to whether they're married or not. Why not? The Shliach could have gone and got in and arranged a Kiddushin with the father of this girl.
What I'm saying is that presumably that he would, if it's not the Shliach, then the father would know which one it was.
Right. The problem is that you have two parties here who don't know that they got engaged because they both had agents on their behalf. The father is the agent of the daughter. Right, and the Shliach is the agent of the man who's being Mekadesh here. What about them?
Somebody says, I forget who says this, but in Haggadah, it says, from his pshat that when he tried to poison Eliezer, that would have been Malchus Ro, because it's like they would have been able to get married, because everyone would have been a suffix that it was Ishsach.
Very good. Okay, it's Kabar. Meis of Yavish Lomar. Demida Oraisa Afilu Hushari Dazlidin Bataruva. So it's very interesting to us, because here it sounds from the Gemara that there's a problem for him to marry any woman. Now the Rabbeinu Tam is saying, no, the Amina Torah, this guy could marry anybody. We could say that Kol Deparish, Miruba Parish. It's a knack on this gentleman who sent a shliach without instructing him as to who to get married to. The low parish low kiddush deplonit uludidei kansu akarini lo kansu. Therefore, the knas was on this person who sent such an agent, and not on the rest of the world. Beim tol mar v'lahavi isura doraisa davle kavua chol kavua kemechsal mechsadami. Right, that's how we explained the Gemara. Why is it over here that he is asur? Is because it's a 50-50. It's a kavua. The woman's in place. And since she's kavua, it's mechsal mechsa, that becomes like 50-50. 50-50, you're also midir raisa, not just midir abona. Shlomar, glomi and kavua kamechsa dami, elekisha iser nikal atzmo, vaheter nikal atzmo. So it's a big condition, toshis. And we only say that something is kavua when the iser and heter are clearly identifiable. Okay, iser nikal atzmo, glomi and kavua. When the iser is not clearly identifiable, we don't say it's kavua kamechsal mechsa dami. It's a very interesting. It's a big chiddush here for the Tosfos that you can have, even though technically this really is a case of kavua and should be kamechsa mechsadami. Since we can't clearly identify what the iser is and what the heter is, it's no longer kavua, and now becomes like a case of parish, because we don't know where the kavius of the iser is. I mean, the only time we can say that something is kavua kamechsa mechsadami is if at one point we knew where the Easter was and where the Heter was. But here, this person, we never had any knowledge or understanding of where the Easter and the Heter was. And therefore, I can't be Kikavua Mechsal Mechsadami. Alright, so I thought just an interesting Tosfos, because it has two important points over here. Is why is the rest of the world not Asur over here? And number two is that his understanding of Kavua by Easter by Heter is very interesting, that you have this out by kavua, that you have to have a clearly identifiable iser v'heter in order to have the principle of kavua mechsal mechsadami apply over here. All right, so now back in the Gemara, so now we have the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. And eight pei Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish challenges this statement by Rabbi Yochanan. Kan stuma sheparcha gozel echad mehem la'avir olam. So you have a kanstuma. Kanstuma is a pair of birds that are brought either by a yoledet. These are individuals who are required to bring a pair of birds at the conclusion of their tahara process. And they bring two birds. One is a chatas, and one is an olah. So you can have two types of kanim. It's two types of bird pairs. You can have a kanstuma, where you bring the two birds, but it's not identified as to which is the chatat and which is the olah, or you can have a kan mefureshet or mufresh. That is, kan mefureshet is where you identify which one's for chatat and which one is for the olah. So here we're talking about where he is not identified, which is the chatat and the olah. And then either they will identify it closer to the time they bring as a korban, or they can leave it in the hands of the kohen. The kohen himself can make the decision. They can send it over to stuma, and the kohen will make the decision when he's makrif the birds. Now, what happens? Harcha gozel echad mehem la'avir olam. One of those birds flies off, right? And so now they're left with only one bird. Oh, sheparcha ben chatot meitot, or one of the birds flies into a flock of birds that are identified for misa, which is there are five chatot that if they don't, if something happens, for instance, if the owners of a chatos die, or the chatos shenit kapru ba'leha, there are five chatos where if something happens, the remaining chatas is then let to die. Right? Kuntzat l'kipa, umeita. So these are five chatos umeita. So it gets mixed up with those five chatos umeita, which means it's going to die, because there's no other way to identify it, so it'll be they would be given the same verdict as the other chataot, oshemeit echad mehem, or one of them dies, yikach zug b'sheni, then you just bring another pair in to fill out the pair. V'ilu kan mifureshet, ein lo takana.
Zug b'sheni means he brings in another pair, or he just brings in
another? I mean, not a pair, another, a second, right, a second one, right.
Zivug, really,
b'sheni. Right. Zug b'sheni, thank you. That's what I meant, but yes, that's exactly. Shol, thank you. He buys a second bird that will fill out the pair over here. V'ilu kan mifureshet, if it was an identified pair, that eventually if he had identified it was a chatas and an ola, ain lo takana, then you can't do anything. Because then at that point he doesn't know which one left, the chatas or the ola. Why? Because he has two birds, one's a chatas, one's an ola, one flies away. Now he wants to bring a second bird in to fill in. He doesn't know if he needs a chatas or an ola. Right, that's one problem. Now, for an ola, it wouldn't be such a big deal because he can bring an ola tznai, which is that if I'm missing the ola tkova, right, then this will be the ola tkova. Otherwise, it'll be an ola tndavah, it'll be a voluntary ola offering. So that works by the ola, promised by a chatas does not come as a nidavah, does not come as a voluntary offering. You can't donate, right, a chatas to the mikdash. So therefore, you can't have this type of tznai work by a chatas. That's what causes you the problem here. Because otherwise, you could just come in and say, this bird will either be, right, it'll either be the, oh, you know, the olat, it'll be an olat, it'll be, you bring two birds and then say whichever one is the chatas or the ola, right? If it's a chatas, it'll be, this will be the chatas kova, and the other one will be an olat nidava. The other one will be an olat kova, this will be a chatas nidava. The problem is that a chatas nidava does not exist. And therefore, you can't bring in two birds to fill in the place here.
So the remaining bird.
Sorry? He can be a nazir, and then what does that do for him?
Then he's chayav chatas.
He still doesn't know what that. The problem is that leftover one was a nola. So now we don't know. He needs two chatot. He needs one for his nazir and one for the original count. Yeah, it's always going to be this guy.
The remaining bird is the mesa.
Right, most likely, yeah, because it's a suffix. It was a suffix chatas meito. It's whatever happens, right? All right, so we'll assume yes that it's meito, and then you bring in another pair, bring in a fresh pair. Right. So now the Gemara says, "Amai lema kol chada v'chalda chada tilma hayninu." So now, if you skipped the line a little more, we're dealing with other pairs of birds, meaning that are not, you can fix them. Right? Why don't you say that each bird that's out there maybe is this bird? Right? Why don't we say that this, if you say, for instance, in our case here, that the woman, when he sent out an agent to be a Mekadesh woman on his behalf, now we say whenever he gets married, this is maybe the woman's relative. So why don't you say the same thing about the birds? You have all these birds out there. One of those birds is either an Olah or Chakat already, because it was already Makrashit a Karban. And now this bird's flying around there. So anytime you buy a bird, why don't we say that bird is, right, the original bird that he lost? So he should be a sort to bring birds in general.
Do we have the same?
Oh, very good. So the Tosfos asks you a question, Josh. He says, well, didn't we just say, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, that the Isser here is only an Isser of Knas? So he says, well, yeah, well, let's say we're konis this guy for losing his bird, and not the rest of the world. He goes, but the mission of the Brisa sound from Kidim sound like everybody's mutar to do this, not just, you know, meaning that including the guy, the original owner, is able to do it. And if we're going to be konis in these types of cases, we should have been konis here. Right, so that's one, and then the Gemara is going to ask, well, then how do you separate between them? If these are the exact same cases, why are we konis in one and not konis in the other? And that's what we're going to see the next line in the Gemara. why there's more reason to be kones in the case of the woman and not by the case of the birds. Alright, so we have, Rish Lakish brings a case that's similar to what Rabbi Yochanan said, and yet we see that the outcome is different. Rabbi Yochanan says in the outcome by the woman, if they have a shliach stam where we don't know which woman was engaged or had kiddushin, then performed with her, then we say this gentleman is usher with all the women in the world, because maybe one woman is the relative of this woman that he engaged, right, was engaged to. And we have birds. Now if he brings birds to the Mikdash, and all of a sudden we have a bird, they lose one of the birds, and now we have a bird flying around who is already been designated for a karban. So how could you come now and take a bird from the world at large? Because it's like marrying a woman from the world at large. And if I'm marrying a woman from the world at large is a problem, then why isn't taking a bird from the world at large also a problem here?
Just to decide, we had the same... Did we ask the same question? Was the same question asked by a one of the tzipor that goes free by Mitzora?
What?
The tzipor that goes free by Mitzora.
Right.
Isn't it the same question?
Right, yeah, you have that, right, the drawer.
Yeah.
The tzipor drawer. But there I think there's a limud that once it's free, then it then becomes, right, it goes back to being kulin. And then once it's done, it performed its operation, then it goes free, right? So now we have, so if you go, anybody, if anybody else goes out and buys a tziporim, next day comes and brings a pair of tziporim, we don't say that they're taking the bird from that one that flew away. Maybe that each one of them is that. Alright, so we're talking about two different situations. A woman does not move, meaning that woman is a stationary object. In some, I mean, obviously, a woman moves, but in general, a woman, right, exactly. Birds, we assume, go fly around, are free birds, and they are all over the place, whereas a woman, in general, is found in one location, or in a general location. So therefore, it's different, because it'll change it from being kagua, which is mechza mechza, to poresh min arov, which would be, right, poresh min arov, we assume is from miruba. So the bird that is parish, because it's night, it flies all over the place, we're going to assume the bird is parish miruba. And if it's parish miruba, if it comes from the general birds or class of birds out there, then what do we assume? We assume that the bird that you pulled is a mutter bird. But a woman, since a woman is a stationary object, if she's a stationary object, then when you pull any woman that you choose, it's going to be viewed as mechza al mechza dummy, as half 50-50. And at 50-50, we can't give you permission to go ahead and marry this woman. So the Gemara is going to ask me, he dema hokanam inai, right? So two women could be moving around. Imar b'shuka ishkach. Say that he found her and he got engaged. I mean, the shliach agent went ahead and found a nice woman in the shuk and said, hey, would you want to be willing to marry my sholeach? And they got engaged, or he gave her the kesem kiddushin, or however he performed the kiddushin in the shuk. So the Gemara says the kaddish. Ashkav kaddish. Hotam hadra lenichuta. Agabe kan mi hadra. It's a very interesting point of the Gemara. It says by a woman, even though when the kiddushin took place, she was moving, but in the end, she always goes back home. Meaning that she always ends back in a stationary location. So since she always goes back to her house, or always goes back to the station location, it's considered that she's at kavua, and therefore it's mechza mechza dummy. Whereas a bird, right, doesn't always come back to its nest, or doesn't always come back to its original location. Birds move around, they migrate. The birds aren't necessarily the same bird that was there originally. So now, Atosis points out, and it's clear here that the woman here is not a real kavua, because she does, people move, right? That's not it. But he says, Nehitlo kavua le kiamre, right? Because the parish will become a dam yikhtas le kavua v'yishlahakmir. But since she's a lot more like a kavua, therefore we are makmir. Because now, to learn the Gemara like Tosis does, truth be over here, any woman you picked and any bird you picked would be parish miruba. They would come from the world at large, and the world at large, over the world is mutter to him to marry, and the world at large, the birds are mutter to be used. and therefore it should be mutar legamrei. The way Tosfos learns is a knas. We're imposing a knas over here, a fine on the individual who went ahead and performed kiddushin in this manner. So why do we, so the question according to our Rish Lakish's question is, why are we kones by the woman and we're not kones by the birds? So the answer is that we're kones by the right, by the woman and not by the birds, because the woman looks a lot more like a case of that a kavua, where you have a kavua isser, where the isser is stationary. When the isser is stationary, it looks as if it's a 50-50 shot. It's a 50-50 shot. We can't be matu you to marry anybody. Whereas by birds, they look a lot more like called the parish miruba parish. That when you take it out of the world at large. When you take it out of the world at large, we view that as a coming from the rove. The rove is mutar, and therefore we would not be kones in the case of the bird. That's the way the Gemara to read the Gemara according to Tosfos in this instance.
I'm not familiar with the 50-50 concept for something that's fixed.
Okay. If you have, for instance, if you have 9 butcher shops in the town that are not, that are very kosher and one that's not kosher, so if the piece of meat is found outside the butcher shops, not in the in the area of the butcher shops, found outside, so then we say, this meat came, we have a choice now, where did this meat come from? Right, so the robe of the butcher shops in the town are kosher butcher shops, one is not, so we assume that the meat came from a kosher butcher shop. It's called the parish, miruba parish. Anything that's left or comes out, we assume comes from the right, from the majority. And the majority in this case is the kosher meat in this town. Right. Same thing with if we go to a town and we find a baby. There's a baby out, and the town is either rogue Jews, right, and the minority or somebody abandoned a baby. Do we assume that the baby is a Jewish baby or not? So again, we say called the parish. Meruba parish. Whereas if somebody's found in a fixed location, called kavua, it's found in a fixed location, and it hasn't left. So, for instance, if you found a piece of meat in that was dropped in the non-kosher butcher shop, right? So now you can make an argument that although there it's a little harder, but you can make an argument that the meat comes from the robe, and the robe should be kosher butcher shops here. But no, over there we say it's kokavua, it's found inside the non-kosher butcher shop. Since it's found inside the non-kosher butcher shop, it's like mechsa, like a 50-50 shot here, because it's 50% that it came from this butcher shop, 50% shot that it came from the other 9 butcher shops, and therefore we say it's asur here. Because with the assumption, we lose the assumption that it comes from the robe, because it's not parish, it didn't leave the location, it's not in a place where now we can assume that it came from the rove in the location.
You lose the strength of the statistic and you move straight to 50-50.
Right.
Of the, you know, the 99.
Right, exactly. There's either a rove, which is 51-49, or there's Maxo, which is 50-50. Now, Mina Torah is just from the Torah. Rove is the identifying factor when it comes to Issur v'Heter. Anything where the majority rules, and it's mutar. Meet the Rabbanan, from the Rabbanan we have other higher standards that we use, that, like for instance, by Chumos we use 100-1, by Orla we use 200-1, so there are other, the Rabbanan imposed higher qualifications to create Heter, but Minat Torah, Rov, is what makes something mutar. That's the difference. So Karikaris, Parish Merubo, Kol Kavua, anything that's a fixed situation, then we consider it kavua maximus. That's also another case of kavua maximus. If he bought a piece of meat, he doesn't know which butcher shop he bought it from.
I mean, the only thing about this whole case now is that so the woman lives. I mean, what relevance does that got to do with whether she was encountered or not by the shliach?
Because then we'd look at it. I mean, again, another case would be if you go out of a butcher shop and you bought a piece of meat and you don't know which butcher shop you bought it at. In that case, it's kavua kamexo mexodoma. We look at it as a 50-50 because you have the piece of meat in your hand. It's not like that you found it out on the street and we say called the parish ruba parish. Over there, you purchased it and you definitely purchased it from one shop. Right? So it's not that we assume that you went, that the robe, the meat is from the robe because only there are fixed locations where you can go and buy the meat from. So here also, when he marries the woman, we have to know what is this woman or any woman that he now chooses to marry. What is she, a woman that we're pulling out of the big bucket of the world? If she's a woman we pull out of the big bucket of the world, we would say called the parish, and then it separates out, it's going to be Rubo parish, comes out of the robe, and this woman should be mutar to him because 99% of the women in the world are fine. But if we look at the object being stationary, like the butcher shops, which don't move, and if you purchase it at one of the butcher shops, right, then we say the butcher shops have fixed stationary items, and therefore we sue it's max on max, it's 50-50. So too over here, when a person marries a woman, we look at her as a stationary object, and a stationary object, we view it as a 50-50 shot that he's bumping into the problematic woman.
And that's why the argument that the shuk was brought, and then the retort to that was, well, she goes home, but... Okay. So what, she goes home, she still could have been encountered in the shuk.
Right, so Tosa says, you're right, that in the end, it's not a perfect case of kavuah mechzel-mechzel, because it's true, people move. In general, people are moving objects. It's not the truth that they are kavuah, but he says it looks a lot more like kavuah. So if we're going to be create a knas that says, what is a bird looks more like a case of the meat where you find it out on the street. Right, the case of the woman looks a lot more like the case of, I bought something from the butcher shop, I don't know which butcher shop I bought it from. So that's what Tosa is saying, that looks a lot more like Mechsa Mechsa, and the bird looks a lot more like a case of Merubo Parish. So therefore the Chachamim are going to be Kones by the woman and not Kones by the bird. Right, so you're right, it's not a perfect match in this case.
I also with people you have certain, you have other halachic ideas that say that a person is kind of like a kavua situation, like Yedr Shladam could doubt about, you know, like certain things about a person that say that they're stationary or that they're a defined, you know, spot in the universe or space. And
right. I don't know if that has halachic tokif. I mean, it has halachic tokif. In terms of kinyanim, I don't know if it has lach tokif in terms of this and heter, but that is just interesting. I just find out the Mefarish here says why is a woman considered stationary? It's called vuda bat melech nima, that a woman, right? Called vuda bat melech nima, the woman is a tenua, right? Sarah nashim ba'ol, right? That the woman, the highlight of the woman is the house or the ohel. Both the piel out of like a mexamexalos, and then because therefore that would create the kavius. It's an interesting, just from the side of the Mefarish, he says what creates the kavius, right, is the halachic imperative, or a suggestion that a woman, that kol kavod bat melech nima, that the hit the hagut, or the tznius of a woman, right, inherently makes her into a kavua. Because if she keeps to the standard that the Torah sets, that would be, right, make her into a kavua. Not that she doesn't move, but that her true kavod, right, is that the base of mikdash that she builds in her house. It's a very interesting in Mefarish over here that uses that as to create a halakhic reality of kol kavod bat melech pnima.
Could Tosfos is the motivation for the class, the kiddushin ayde shliach, or the kiddushin ayde shliach stam?
It's the shliach stam. Right. We know that you can use the shliach and the...
If he doesn't mean the specific individual that he wanted him to be...
The Gemara in kiddushin starts out, the Gemara in the second paragraph of kiddushin talks about the kiddushin ayde shliach. The Gemara asks, why does the Gemara use a term of bidi evid? By kiddushin for shliach, the Gemara says, because the chatchila, a person should do it themselves, or he should see the woman prior to getting married to her. I mean, that there's a obligation on the individual, not obligation is the wrong term, but a preference for the individual to see the woman he's going to marry prior to marrying her. So we are ma'adif, right? We prefer a person to get married to he himself to perform the kiddushin, and not a shliach, so that takes place, so that he actually sees the woman. But that a kiddushin done on yidei shliach is a fine kiddushin. Problem here, and that just mentioned it also, is that it's kiddushin by yidei shliach stam, that he didn't identify the woman that he wanted to get married to.
There needs to be really an idea in the play if it was
a directed woman. No, because he knows. Well, then he knows who the woman is.
No, and shliach has no.
So the whole problem doesn't arise in that situation, right?
So, and for any other woman, he has no authority to continue the punishment. Specific
sleepless
to be
in the
kind of
shliach. Right,
the shliach
can't change his sleepless.
He can't change his sleepless. So he's going to come up with any other woman
than a man. Unless he forgot which woman he's sent there to. But that's a less likely case. Right?
At the time of the position, it needs to be row the beer.
I'm sorry?
Needs to be row the beer? Like,
the condition row the beer, right?
Yeah, so the fact is now, it's certainly not. Because
right, but the moment of kiddushin, it was roi labia. Yeah. I mean, that it's not right now the kiddushin. Right, at the moment of kiddushin, there was a possibility that there could be bia because the woman was identifiable at that time.
Yeah.
It was lost later, which is post the kiddushin. Yeah. That's a good question. All right, now, the Gemara continues. Umodi Rabbi Yochanan, b'isha she'en la bat, v'lo bat bat, v'lo bat ben, v'lo aim, v'lo achot. All right, so a woman who doesn't have her Shiva Krovim, right, the seven arayot, which is she doesn't have a daughter, a granddaughter, that's a granddaughter both through her daughter or her son, not a mother and not a grandmother through her mother, v'lachot, and not a sister. So now all these, if she's missing all these relatives, then you can marry her because it's clearly she is not the, she's either the woman you had kiddushin with, or she's not a relative of the woman that you had kiddushin with. Obviously, this is a great, you know, a far-fetched case that you're gonna have such a woman. So now this is gonna open up some points. But even though she had a sister that was divorced, she's still mutar. So this opens up the possibilities here. Why? Time the Hayishato, at the moment that the condition was performed, the Karmelay haven't seen the Gabri. She was married, right? She was married at that time. So Kimishave Shliach, but most of the Kaime Kame. And when a person creates a Shliach, he creates it for that which is permitted at the moment that the Shliach is performing a Shlichus. There's a low Kaime Kame, stuff that's not immediately available, Lo Mishave Shliach. So don't assume, this is an important fact now, we don't assume that the Shliach went ahead and said, listen, oh, you're getting divorced? Think about divorcing your husband? When you get divorced, this is the Kiddushin. Right? So we don't say that. We don't say that he went ahead and proposed to a woman, the Shliach on his behalf, to a woman who's currently married and might get divorced later on. So this now starts to open up or frees up many women. Because if a woman was married at the time that, or they say she has, or this woman has broken, all her relatives were married at the time that this shlichus was performed, then we can say what? Then we could say that clearly he did not, right, this is not the woman that he chose.
Neither she nor any of her forbidden relatives.
Right, this was not the woman that was chosen for kiddushin. Now you have to watch her.
Not just her.
Right.
Neither her nor any of her.
Right. If she was right, if she's not married, then her relatives should not be forbidden. But again, you have to watch from both sides, right? Because someone could be both a daughter and a mother. So you have to, right? You have to be careful. Which side, it only frees up a karo from one side, not maybe not the other side, right?
Every mother has both of them.
Right, so that's
the woman herself that he wants to marry now, she could have been single.
Right. That's not a problem, because if he married her,
as long as all
if it's either his wife, right, the problem there is if it's the woman herself, then we're fine, because it's either his wife or right, or she's a free woman.
As long as all of her are for the brother.
Or seven, actually.
So what's the case? I don't understand. What's the problem with the achot here and the gerushin? What exactly is the...
Right. So say you have this woman has no relatives.
Yeah.
So she has no relatives, and there's nothing to worry about. He married her, or she's comes from the free, the group of free women out there, and therefore he can marry her no matter what. And the Mishnah says not only can he marry her if she has no relatives, but if she has no sister, but even if her sister was married at the time that this kiddushin was performed by the shliach, then she'd be okay also. Because then we know for sure that the shliach
was performed at the time that the shlichus was established.
Oh, either both. I mean,
but it sounds like
but it has to be that at the point that the shliach got there, she was still married, because you can't. There's no way for the shliach to know. I mean,
that's what it sounds like they were saying. You can't know if it's like having to. You can't know exactly when he did this. You can't know for sure that she was married anymore. But the point is that when he designates the shliach, his that's what the Gemara says. He designates the shliach for something that was permissible.
No, that he does the Kim Shabbos Melech to shliach. No, when he makes him an agent, he makes him an agent for that which is in front of the agent. It's not that which is available now. I don't think the time periods are so far apart, but we have to make an assumed amount of time in which the shliach performed his shlichus. I mean, we have to make an assumption that he performed the shlichus within a certain period of time. If she was married during that time period, then I think that's sufficient. Yeah, so now you have you have this woman who has no relatives, right? So now if she has no relatives, if she married this, if he goes ahead and marries her, it's no problem. Because either he married her beforehand, and this is really his wife, or she comes from the free women out there, and it's fine for him to marry her, because nobody could have been married that makes her into an arayot. So now the Gemara says not only if she has no relatives, but say for instance she had a sister. If her sister was married at the time that he sent out the shliach to perform the shlichos, or the time that the kedushin was performed, then what? Then we say that this woman's also okay. Why is she okay? Because we assume that he didn't say to the sister, "You listen, when you get divorced, you know you'll be married to this guy who sent me." Right? We don't look at that as being a plausible alternative. That's not a plausible alternative. And her sisters, you have Rachel and Leah out there. He wants to go ahead and marry Rachel now. Rachel now has no daughters. Her mother's right. She had no mother at the time. She has no relatives, nothing around. She has one sister, Leah. So now the problem is maybe he married Leah. So if he married Leah, he can't get married to Rachel now. So now the one says, no, if Leah was married at the time, Leah was married to someone else at the time that he sent the shliach out to perform the kiddushin, and the shliach did this kiddushin, then he doesn't have to worry about the Rachel anymore. Because we don't assume...
Russia specifically, the time of the shliach.
Right, so then Rachel is mutar for him to marry, because Leah was clearly not the woman that he chose, because she was married at that time. That's all it does. It clears the decks that a woman who's married, you assume, was not a woman who he chose for Kiddushin, because he has the time that he sets out. The assumption now is that he won't send a shliach from shlichus for him in something that's not clearly clearly available at that time, not for future. It's not giving him future rights of marriage, right? That's it. So Shirley, you said that's what the rest
says.
The
verse says, as long as at the moment of designation as an agent.
Right. It's difficult. I mean, honestly, it's pretty difficult.
Because his authority was only established for someone who is permissible.
Right, if he takes 2 weeks to get to a city, that anybody's available when he gets to the city.
I hear what you're saying. That's how he's interpreting the Gemara statement about the shlichus.
Right, I guess I would have looked at it. I would have looked at it in a broader sense, that it's anybody when he gets to the location that is available, that he can't say that someone in the future would be available to him. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Sean. Okay. Now, what does this have to do with our Gemara? Right, so far, it's all been a tangent. Now the Gemara says, if that's really true, then you can only establish a shlichus for someone who is available at this time. It's not. Hareini Nazir, ve'alai legaleach Nazir. So this should sound familiar. This is our Mishnah, right? The person takes on a neder nazirut, and then he says, in addition to that, I have to bring the karbonos for a neder nazir. B'shamach avero, b'avamar v'ani v'alai legaleach Nazir. His friend hears about it and says, guess what? You know what? Me too. Plus, I'm going to take care of the karbonos for someone else. If they're smart, the Mishnah says that they take care of each other. Otherwise, they'll have to take their own nazirut plus pay for the karbonot for someone else. Okay, the second guy who took the nezir nazirut, the first guy's already a nazir. So the second guy can say, listen, I'm a nazir, plus I'm going to pay for number one's karbonot. Right, but what is number one? But kadma mika batra kamei. When number one took his neder, right, number two was not a nazir. So how could you suggest that number one can bring the karbanot nazir for number one? Number two, wasn't a nazir at the time that he took his neder.
I mean, he has to fulfill it at a certain time. At that time, he'll find a nazir. That's a nazir.
Right, so that's, the Gemara's question answer is going to be something similar to what you're saying. The Gemara's underlying assumption right now is... if you're saying that a shliach...
It's the same as a shliach.
Right, a shliach. We only send an agent, we don't create an agency for something that's available to you right now. But basically, a person's das is only on that which is immediately available to him. So any woman who's free and clear at the time that he sends the shliach, that is right within his purview. That's within his world purview at that time. That's what he thinks about. That's what he has das on. So too by a nazir. When he takes the neder nazirut, he's a nazir. Then he says, I'm going to bring karbanos for a nazir. Our assumption is that he is speaking about nazirim that are available to him today. Not somebody in the future is going to be a nazir, but he's identified. So that's it. So what is he going to say? Hello? And it says, Ela hachi kamar, to say, Ibi shkachna davi nazir agaltai. Hachanami, hachi kamar lai, Ibi shkachna davi garsh kadishli. And so now, he says, oh, if you say that, meaning that right, you can work it both ways. If you suggest over here that when a guy takes a nether like this, that he means any nether in the future will be, who's available to me, will be within my purview of those carbonates that I want to bring, they say the same thing by the Kiddushin. He's saying, you know, any woman that will be available to me at some point should be within my, right, within my realm of those that you can be Mekadosh. Now the Gemara is going to redefine this. Amrei lo mishave inishliach el b'milsa d'matzi avit hashta. Milsa d'matzi avit lehashta lo mishave.
And when I say it myself.
Right, so that you can only do it for something that I could do today. Right, so we only say that, not only do we say that it's milsa, right, that is kaima kamei, something for him now, but also something that you can accomplish, right, that you can accomplish now. So since you can't accomplish that because the Gerushin are a problem for accomplishing it right now, right, then we don't say that you go ahead and...
So comparing apples up, if I made a shlef, when I made a zero, so I said the shlef, and you also paid for someone else's money. That's
right.
I mean, if you want to compare apples up, in the case that when I made my zero, so I also said not that I will pay for someone else's zeros, but I said the shlef sitting right next to me, you know, show, you please find another also to pay for. That would be compared, you know what I'm saying?
Why is that? No, the question
is,
where it won't work.
Where it won't work. Right.
Sorry, I didn't understand. Right, yeah, exactly right. All right, so that, all right, so now there is a...
what are you saying? That he can't, in this case, with Shalia, pay for the korbanos for a nazir that had not yet been a nazir.
Right. If he establishes a shliach, right, then the shlichus is only established. Agency is only created for two things. One, that which is right. The Gemara now made two principles. The kaima kamei, something that is available to him. But not only is it available to him, but it's available to him immediately.
There's no halacha comparative here. Here it's up to him. He wants to do something. Why are we enforcing?
No, we have a
right.
No, by him, he can do whatever he wants. I mean, that's not the problem. The problem's not by him. By him, he can make any decision. He could also try to create a condition in the future. Meaning that he could try to do this type of, when you get divorced, there'll be condition.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Call me when it's done. That's not the problem. The problem is, what happens when he creates a shliach? What do we assume that the agent has rights to do? And so that's what we're saying. We're saying that when people create agency, they only create agency for things that are available to him now, and not only, I mean, that are kaima kamei, that are present, and not only present, but they're hashka, they are right, immediately executable. Right, since if it's not immediately executable, then we assume that it's not within the world of agency. That he creates an agency, a person's assumption when he creates an agent is that the agent will act on his behalf in certain instances. What are those instances where he'll act on his behalf? We assume only things that that are immediately available and can be done or executed now. Otherwise, he doesn't drag on. Agency is not creating an agency for in the future. Right? The Gemara's going to challenge that. I don't want to say.
So just one more time. Well, the Gemara says, where was it that he shouldn't be allowed to pay for
the second guy's carbonos? Based on the principle that Rabbi Yochanan set up, that when you, in your world, purview, is things that you think about. Right? And the first way we understood Shliach is that you only set up agency. The things that you're thinking about when you set up agency are only things that are available in the world today. Right? Things that are Haima Kamei, that are available today. So that's true, then why when the guy takes the Ned and the Zeros, he's saying that we can pay for the guy's carbonos in the future, who became a Nazir in the future. That wasn't within his world when he took the Ned and the Zeros, or when he took the Ned to bring carbonos.
So what are we saying? So let's say he did pay for that guy, and he hasn't put a Nazir yet.
He still have to opt to bring another...
His statement is obligating himself to...
Bring, it sounds like that, I will bring carbonos for someone who is a Nazir today. This guy was not a Nazir today, so he didn't fulfill his...
Right.
So there's a point.
That's why
Very good. So that's the Tosfos we're just about to do. So show, thank you. This is Tosfos. Tosfos on the. You'd better come out. You'd better come out. It goes back. Right. So Yud Bet Amar Aleph is on the last Tosfos on the page, it's my time. Supported Tosfos for two reasons. One, which is that he makes a statement here. Tosfos makes a statement here that the Rosh makes in Nedarim. Same statement that the Rosh made in Nedarim. He says, Gemara wrote over here, my time. My time. What is this lesson of my time over here? I mean, that the Gemara made a statement, right, about that if a woman was married at the time, that she is okay for him to marry her sister later on. So the Gemara says, my time, why? But that's not the way the Gemara usually reads. It says, Klomer, heki dummy. Usually when the Gemara gets it, they say, heki dummy, what is the case? They don't say, my time, why, but they say, heki dummy, what's the case? So listen to this line in Tosfos, Klomer, heki dummy, shloyala achot, vatayeshla. Umanadin avalei lamar, heki dummy. It should have really written, heki dummy here in the Gemara. El bishum, the lashon nazir mishuneh. Says that the language of Nazirut is strange. And that it's not like other Gemaras. The Nazir has its own language, its own way that the Gersos or the language that's used in Nazir is not similar to that which is used in other Gemaras. And the Rosh makes a similar statement in the Gemara in Nedarim about Lashon Nedarim Mishunehu. Makes a similar statement about that Nedarim. So here you go. We have these two Mesachtot that have this, alright, so in this case, in the Zirut. All right, that's one important point in this Tosfos. Second important point is exactly what Shaul was explaining. Go to the widest line, to the widest, starting the first widest line in Tosfos, in the dead center of that line, right, where the Rashi ends, it says Perish. Here, the line says Perish in the Tosfos. Perish. Vadai das adam afilo b'midi lo kaitamek. Right, that certainly a person's understanding is even things that are not in front of him. Hilkach, Arisho Nifter Begiluach Hasheni. Therefore, this first Nazir, this is what you're asking, Josh, the first Nazir can bring karbanos for the second Nazir, Aval Be'inyan Acher, or whatever, B'shlichusa, B'mach Enishim, B'shavishlech, B'milsa, D'matzi Oved, Nafshe, B'shasho Sishliach. That the only thing, a person only appoints an agent for something that he could execute now. That which he could execute now, he appoints a shlich. That's a din in shlichus. I mean, a din in shlichus is that you cannot appoint a shlich, something you yourself can't do. That's the basic premise of agency. The biggest premise of agency is that if you can do it, then I can appoint an agent to fill in my place. If you can't do it, then agent, how can you create an agency for something that you yourself can't do? Alright, so that's it. Daha nisibla lo motzi l'shav yishlich l'kadish lo. Right? So since he can't marry this woman now, he can't make a shliach to have him marry the woman, right, in the future. This is a very interesting case. The Tosa says, isn't it? Every day, you have challah, women are baking, and they're saying, you know what, here, take this flour from me, right? And separate a challah out from my flour over here. And the Talmidim of the, you know, they bring, in the old days they used to sleep over by people's houses when they came to cities to learn. In the yeshivas, there were no dorms. They used to sleep by people's houses. So they probably provided, at the times they provided food, they brought kemach, they brought flour to the balabayas to use. And they say, you know what, can you be mafish kala from this kemach? Now kemach, you can't be mafish kala from kemach. When you mafish challah, challah is only mufrash when it's already made into dough, right? Challah is separated off when it's already been mixed and kneaded and made into dough. Kemach, you're not mafish challah from it. So now you're making someone a shliach to be mafish challah for you, and yet at this moment, you can't be mafish challah. You can't be mafish challah from the flour that's in front of you, yet you're asking someone else to do it for you on your behalf. How could that be? How can someone become a shliach for something that you can't do today? It violates the principle we just established in the Gemara, that which you can execute today, you can make a shliach for. Ah, b'shasho seo tashlichus lo hayta yicholo ba'atzma lafrish chala mikemach zeh. She'enu bar chiyuba. She'en mafrishin chala mikemach. You can't get mafrish chala from kemach, and therefore you can't execute the chala today. How could you appoint a shliach to do it on your behalf in the future? There's a possibility today that you could go ahead and bring another piece of dough from somewhere else and say, this person can say, this piece of dough that I have in front of me today will be challah on this kemach when it becomes dough. So since Dvarah Shuyadu Kayamim, now this comes to what Shaul pointed out, right? This is Zar. Now, how come? So what? Why does that work? I mean, that you have flour in front of you and I have dough, and I say this dough is challah when this kemach becomes dull. How could I do that? This kelach, this flower, is not dull today. So why do we say, this is what Shulri said, that this is not considered something that did not come into the world yet? Kevan should be yodol lelush ulegalgela isha parishapir bali olam. Kevan the yodol asos. Something that is in your ability to create today, as we don't say is a lack in davar shelo ba li'olam. Since it's within your power to change this kemach into dough, we don't consider it to be as if it's not dough yet.
As a woman who's currently married, there's nothing that you can do today to be
kind of... Right, it's not within your power to ruin her. It is within your power to ruin her condition, but not, right, you can't single-handedly on your own ruin her kedushin over here. Since you can't ruin the kedushin over here, you can't make her divorce. That's davar shelo ba li'olam, or that's something that where you can't execute today. So even though in the future she might be divorced, that's not within your execution power today. Whereas by dough or flour, since you have the ability and it's within your ability to create the execution and to change the status of this flour, since you can do that, it's considered as if today it's available for you to be makashkal. If that's the case, you can appoint an agent or shliach to do it on your behalf.
That's like, as Shaul mentioned before, the rest is it depends on at the time of sleep, but she's
right. I think that's more important now. I say, according to the second answer, and I wonder if the rush is saying it in the second answer. See, according to the second answer, it has to be at the time of sleep. Right? Whereas according to the first answer, I thought, and I could be wrong, I thought it meant that as long as the sleep can only perform sleepless for that which is available within his executable territory. He didn't make a mishliach to do something for him in the future. Right? And according to the second answer, it has to be something that the person who's the shaleach can do right now, then he can create an agency for it. Then that has to be time of sleepless. Right? Now, so that's what Tosef says. The folks you had a last out, lap kum chusher the maisa dami. So he says, alright, that's not enough. He says, mikom akom ba high time of lechuda lo sagil on the meimer, the matzin meiv achliya kan keiv on the other lelush ulegalgel. So he says, that may not be enough, and he leads it a little bit of a question, because he says, we have other cases, I won't get into it. The Tosafot has questions on this type of situation from Yavama and other things. We have to get through the daf, but I just want to point out it's very important to Tosafot in terms of shliach and agency, that has agency works, and when you are the shliach, when is it considered as if you are able to do it and you are able to point an agency? Right now, the Gemara challenges below. Is it really true that you can't appoint agency for someone where you can't do it yourself? Tashma, ha'omer lo pitropus. This is our little chazara on the darim. Right, one says to an appointee, shalom kol nedarim shitadur yishli mikan achevo mimakom ploni. Any net that my wife takes from now until the time that I return, hey for law. You go ahead and nullify them for me. The hate for law, any nullifies them. You would think that it works. Tamalomer, Yisha Yikumenu, Yisha Yifi Renu. Tibri Rabbi Yoshi. Rabbi Yoshi says we have a pasuk that says that what? That it has to be the husband herself. You can't do it through an agent. You can't be made for the agent. Rabbi Yoshi says, right? So that a shliach can do whatever a person can do. So why can't he appoint a shliach here? So Mar says, time of the Amar Rachmana Isha Yikimena Isha Yifri Rena. So according to Rabbi Yoshi, what the whole problem here, the problem is the pasuk. Without the pasuk, it would work. So Allah Baki, Apichobus Maker, the Apichobus could be able, was able to nullify the Bilu Gabi Day, but for the person himself, Tanya, we have a brace, Omer Lishto Kundurim Shitiru Mikan Bachabumi Kampori Kayamin. Any net that you take from now until the time I come back will be Kayam. Lo Markum, Hari and Mufarib, if they are nullified, Rabbi Lozo Omer, Mufar, Chachamim Enu Mufar. Lozo says, you are Mufar, come say, Enu Mufar. So now what? So what do you say, Kazaka? When Rabbi Osha made his statement that what a apitropus cannot be made for Nedarim because of the pasuk, well, wasn't for the pasuk, he would be able to do it. I'll leave it to Rabbanu and Amre, right? Amre lo matzim made for. He's saying it according to Rabbanu, who say that he himself couldn't do it. It's not even a case where the apitropus could do something that the Baal himself cannot do. Vilav Amar Rachmani Yishei Kemeni Shir. An apitropus haven't made for. So that means what? You have a case now where the agent is more powerful than the shaleach himself. The shaleach himself cannot be made for, yet an apitropus could be done. So Gemara says, no. Dilma, right? Maybe. I'll leave it to Rabbi Elazar. That may matzah mefer. Who says he's going according to the position of the Chachamim? Maybe he's going towards Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said what? Elazar says you can't be mefer. The person himself, the Baal himself could be mefer. So therefore, the shaleach could also be mefer on his behalf. Yehoch, he lamed the shaleach. Or did he say Achdut himself? Wait for law. This is the same answer the Gemara gave there. The Gemara has a different, in the Dharam has a different flow. The Gemara over there has a question in between, which is, does the Baal need to hear the Neder? Does the Baal need to hear the Neder in order to be made for it? So it goes off on a different issue. Our Gemara skips that whole part. It comes to the answer, Yukasover, Dilma Mishtalina, or Ratachna, or Matridna. So he says, maybe I'll be tied up, or, you know, I'll be busy on the day I'm leaving for my trip, right? I won't be, he'll be Tarud, he'll be involved, and he'll forget to be made for the Neder, or he won't have the opportunity, he'll hear it, and he'll forget to be made for the Neder. In that case, he points to Shliach to do it on his behalf, even though he himself could have done it.
You said the same Aleph from Yom Kippur, right?
What?
You said the same Aleph from Yom Kippur.
Right, you could, right, you'd have to say it, according to Rabbi Eliezer, right? Right, you could say that.
I thought the question was stronger,
Right, I mean, because he says, look at the Adam Kamos. Right. But there he assumes that the Baal can do it. That's the whole point. So look at the Kamos means that the Kamos can do it. Over here.
So you have to be
right. Right. I think your current review is right. Yes, okay, next mission is a quick mission. Ari Alai, Legaleach Hatsin Hazir, right? Mishamach Abeiro. He says, but I have to be Megaleach a Hatsin Nazir, a half Nazir. Mishamach Abeiro, but Ari Alai, Legaleach Hatsin Nazir. This is what he quoted in the Gemara. I also am going to cut, I'm going to bring Kabanos for a half a Nazir. Zim Megaleach Nazir Shalem, Zim Wachnish Nazir Shalem, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, I each have to, better bring Shalazin, because there's no such thing as a half Nazir. They could basically share in the Kabbalah. They come in here together, pay together, to create a whole Nazir together. Says, if he says half of the Karbanos of a Nazir Alai, Chatzi Karban Maisi, he reigns as a Karbanos. Why? Because he had a full Nazir, but he says half the Karbanos. There is such thing as Chatzi Karbanos of the Nazir, because you have a full Nazir, and now you have to bring so many Karbanos, you're going to pay for half of them, right? Karbanot Chatzi Nazir Alai. If he says Karbanot, all the half Nazir that I'm going to bring, Kulei Karban by Yisu. He has to bring everything. Why? Because they think half a Nazir, and there is no such thing as half a Nazir. He has to bring for the full Nazir. My time, Adalash Kachan Nazir with the Palgu. There's no such thing as a half Nazir. The Chipli gave the Lishna de Masnissim Pligi. Where do they argue? They argue about the law shown in our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Saba came and read the Omar Hare Alai, Ichayev a Kulei Karban. So once he says Hare Alai, he took on the obligation of all the Karbanos. Nizirus. The Chikamar Chachin Nizirus, Lakul Gumine. Now he's trying to reverse his position. And we know by, right, Rabbi Meir, that Tophus Lashon Rishon, and he can't come back here and try to undermine what he just said. He can't reverse what he said. He said, I'm bringing Karbanos. And then when he says Chachin, he's trying to reverse, so we can't do that. Rabbanit Tzavrei, Neder Upetach Imo. That's the same as we saw earlier on in the parenthesis.
He said, Rabbi, didn't say anything. Rabbi,
no, but he says Hare Alai. No, he says Hare. Mr. says Hare Alai the Galeach. So that sounds
that's a full.
Right, that's a full. Chatzi Nazir is a reversal. Right, it's backtracking on what he said before. The Chacham say no. He has a Neder Petach Imor, or we say Afi Gmar Gvar Ladav Nitpas. Right, so therefore he has a full statement, and we look at it in within the full statement. I will point out here. I read the Gemara this way, which seems to me the simplest way to read the Gemara. But Rashi brings down your three Pirsos in the Gemara here. The Mefaris brings down three Pirsos in the Gemara here, I had to read the Gemara about what the issue is. And the issue might be not whether whether that his paying for the Karbanos helps out the Nazir. Because that when he says I'm bringing a Nazir, when he says full Nazirut, and then he brings the Karbanot, he's obligated to bring Karbanot for a Nazir, and then he's going to pay for someone else's Karbanot. And that Nazir will be Yotzi with the Karbanot. When he says Chatzi Nazir, he can't pay for this other guy. This guy's obligated to bring full Karbanot to Nazir. He can't have some guy come in and pay for half of them, because that doesn't work. That's then the question in the Mishnah will come out, whether can he pay for half and be Yotzi the obligation or not. And it may only be when both of them made the Nether that together, jointly, the Chachamim believe that they can pay for a full Nazir. But each one by themselves couldn't pay for Chatzi Nazir because they couldn't be Motzi, another person with half the Karbanot Nazir. Just pointing it out, I don't think it's
worth it.
Right, you can't create such an obligation that doesn't exist, or you can't be Motzi someone else's obligation.
When that's not his obligation. Right. His obligation is.
And if you want to see it, the Mefarsh brings down two other possible Gersos. I read it, I think, which is the most simple Gersa in the Gemara. All right, let's stop here.